Missing some folk. Let me tell you what happened. Our work and witness team went down into Kentucky with the district. We had about six people from our church went down. So I think there's 20 some people all together. They had a great week. They had 158 kids in Bible school last Sunday night down in Kentucky. They had a great week. But the last night of Bible school, there was a little girl that came sick. And the rest of the team came home and got sick. Matter of fact, some of them got sick on the way home. They left some of them in Paducah, Kentucky, and then they got to Mountain Grove before they rushed another one to the hospital from there. And so there was a viral infection that took place. So the folks who went on the work and witness trip, for the most part, have stayed home this morning for fear they have something that might be spreading around. So we miss them. You pray for them. I know they want to be here with us, but they're absent this morning. And we pray that God will touch them and heal them and indeed bless their bodies and help them. We've got some folks who are on vacation. Our Sunday school superintendent got called to work this morning. But we're glad you're here. And so take time to greet one another in the Lord this morning. Say howdy to folks and say, we're glad to see you. why they have that railing right there for
me. For me, too.
All right. Well, the interesting thing sometimes when all of these changes take place at the last minute, folks are getting sick and things like that, then you just realize how much other stuff do to cover your tail. And so we have such a great group of people. They do such a wonderful job ministering and working together. But our missions lady was one of the people who got sick. And so she is not here this morning. But we are indeed glad that we want to remind you that there are great opportunities to give through our mission program. And we'll keep those before you. Oftentimes things like Nepal, some of the other tragedies that have happened. Our Nazarene Compassionate Ministries are right on the scene. And you indeed sometimes can just write a check to the church and or put money in an envelope and just mark it for wherever that place is you want it to go. We'll be able to send it to headquarters. They'll get it sent to the appropriate places. We feed kids in Haiti. We're doing several things through the church that sometimes we don't talk about a lot that you may not even know that are happening. But because of the ministry of the Church of the Nazarene around the world, we are able to do those things, to support our missionaries, and indeed pray for Carolyn this morning. I know they'd rather be here as where they are, feeling the way they do. And so we appreciate that. And Pastor Don, you know, he's one of those folks, he said, well, I'm not sick, as far as I know. They're not sure how far this bug's being passed around. So he said, I don't want to infect anybody else. And he was supposed to go to the nursing home this morning with us. And of course, that group of people there, their strength is not as good sometimes as you younger folk. And so we certainly didn't want to make any of them sick. But you pray for those folks. I don't know how it is. You know what it's like when you're sick and you stay home and you miss your church family? And so a phone call or maybe a card this week or something like that might be really good to help them out. We appreciate them. We miss them when they're gone today. But we're glad again that you are here. We're going to ask our ushers to come this morning and receive the tithes and offerings. We thank you for being obedient to God and giving back to Him that portion which He has asked for. And my guess is that in the midst of everybody being gone, nobody got ushers this morning. So there they go. They're headed out. And so Brother Brett's going to help us there. Brother Bob's got us covered. Our audio technician is on vacation. Our office manager happens to go with him wherever he goes. So she's out. And you don't even want to know the story about the bulletin. I'm not even going to tell that one. Sue does a great job, and when she's gone, we miss her. Oh, praise the Lord. Aren't you glad God's got a sense of humor? Look at us. All right, but He's good, isn't He? He loves us. Everything I have because of God. He's a giver of all things. The Bible says He wants to give us good gifts. I'm glad. I can use a good gift every once in a while. And I appreciate Him. I'm going to ask my son Cody to come and ask God's blessing on the offering this morning received.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for today. Thank You for the time that we have to come here and worship You, Lord. I pray that You would just be with the service. We thank You that You have Your hand in everything. Pray that You would be with everyone who went on the mission trip, Lord, that whether they're feeling sick or not, Lord, that You would just have Your healing hand on them and me in those situations. And with the little girl that was sick that came to Bible school, Lord, and I pray, Lord, that You would bless this offering. Amen.
I'm sorry, I accidentally turned the keyboard off. I thought it was done. We were done. There we go. Let's begin our worship set with "He Brought Me Out of the Miry Clay."
Brought me out.
An all-powerful God to take our concerns to. I'm glad that we have a supreme being that we can lift up praise to and know that there's someone out there who's bigger than us and stronger than us, and no matter what our life situations are, there's somebody that we know that can handle it and do it well. So this morning, as we prepare our hearts for prayer, these altars are open to you. Indeed, if you have a burden that you need to let go of to lighten your load, or if you're just feeling pretty on the mountaintop today and you've just got some praise you need to lift up, God likes praise. How many of you here like somebody to pay you a compliment? You enjoy a compliment once in a while? And we don't want that fake stuff, you know, where people tell you something because they want something out of you. But when somebody truly pays you a true compliment, that's a wonderful feeling. And God enjoys us bragging on Him. He enjoys us telling Him thank you and giving Him credit for the things that we know that He is indeed the source of. And so this morning, as we go to Him, we go with the confidence that He is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we ask or imagine. And we have some folks tomorrow morning that will go in for surgery. And so we want to remember Bonnie Burke. We want to remember Leo Gardner, as they'll both be going in for surgeries tomorrow. We want to pray for... I got a call from Samantha this morning. Excuse me. She has an aunt named Debbie Smith that a few months ago found out she had breast cancer, and a few weeks later found out she had lung cancer, and found out yesterday, I guess, and the word got to Samantha today. Today is her aunt's 60th birthday. And she now has found out she has cancer all over the place, in her brain, in her bones, lung, breast. It's just everywhere. Not really what you want to do to celebrate your birthday, is it? And so Sam and I prayed over the phone together. And I know that there are other things spread throughout this congregation. There are people that are your friends and your family, that you're aware of situations like this. May not be cancer, maybe something else, but they're your family and your friends that are going through difficult and trying times. Our God is able. And sometimes those folks can get so discouraged, they need someone to intercede on their behalf and to pray for them and with them. And so these altars are open this morning as we think about these various family situations, family members. We want to remember, and I don't know all the details, I just vaguely got some information last night, but I've been here 30 years now, and at the Assembly of God Church, Pastor Donnie Blancett was the associate pastor there when I first came here. But Donnie has been sick for about 8 weeks now. And just has not been able to shake whatever it was. At any rate, I just got word from another pastor friend last night. He's having some kind of a procedure on Tuesday, and I want us to lift him up in prayer. Donnie and his dad Wilbur, the second week I was here, we were having a potluck dinner to welcome the new pastor and his family, and Wilbur and Donnie stopped by on the way home from their church service and welcomed me into the community. And Donnie and I, with some other fellows, have met every Monday for the last several years and prayed for our community and prayed together. And so I know that he has been complimentary to me in his pulpit. I know he has prayed for our church. I remember the first missions convention that we had after I came here. And some of you know that I run an audiovisual business on the side now, but I didn't back then. And We needed a video projector. That was when video projectors were relatively new technology. And we needed a video projector to show some of the mission slides. And Nick's Assembly had been able at that point in time to purchase one of the early models, and they were quite expensive. And I called a rental place in Springfield, and the rental on those things was $125 a day. We didn't have that kind of money then. And Donnie said, I'll just come get ours. And he's treated every church in the community that way. And so I want us to be faithful to remember him, to remember their church in our prayers this morning. We have a list of ongoing issues. And Jennifer, I don't see her here in the sanctuary this morning. I haven't seen her since I left the house this morning about 7:30. But her nephew, we got a call Thursday. Her uncle passed away. We had his visitation and funeral earlier this week. And she got a phone call that her nephew had been life-flighted into the hospital Thursday. He had passed out at work. We don't know if it was heat or what exactly caused him to pass out, but he fell, works in a sawmill, and he hit his head on the edger and split his skull up and fractured his skull. So it's been kind of a busy week. And then we've been dealing with all this stuff with the work and witness team and things. But Ethan's not where he needs to be with the Lord right now. He's okay. He put some staples and stitches in his head and trying to get him squared away. Could have been a lot worse. And he still has an opportunity. This whole thing, folks, about a summer for souls. Not everybody gets another chance. There are people dying all around us, some very untimely deaths. And if they don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, eternity is not a good place for them. We need to be concerned for our friends and our relatives and our co-workers and the folks who are around us, the neighbors we haven't even met yet. Let us be a church that has a heart for God's people. Thank you for all that you're doing, the way that you've been supporting this campaign this summer. We pray that it will continue to reap a harvest. And so this morning, as we sing together again, these altars are open to you. If you have need of them, you feel free to come. This is a time in our church where if you make your way to an altar, nobody's going to come to you. Nobody's going to bother you. This is going to be your private time with God. But you feel free to lay a burden down or to lift up a praise, and then we'll sing. If we've sung, we'll pray together. But this is your time with God. Father, we are indeed grateful for who you are. And we are grateful today for who you have allowed us to become, the children of God. Lord, we've always been your creation. We everyone really is yours. Lord, you don't force yourself on us. You said you stand at the door and knock. And if we let you in, you'll come in. You want to come in. You're there. You sent your son Jesus to the cross because you wanted to have a relationship with all your children. So, Lord, you're trying. You're doing everything you can do. And you've left us to make choices. Joshua said in the scriptures, choose you this day whom you'll serve. As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. Lord, that's my heart this morning. Lord, I know that as I've walked this journey, that I've not always walked it right. And I've had to come to you and confess and ask for forgiveness. And Lord, you've been faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And any good thing that is in me today is of you. Thank you for the people who spoke Jesus into my life. Parents, Sunday school teachers, preachers, evangelists, lay people who went to church with us. Lord, I just thank you for all of those people who had an influence on me. I thank you that I have the privilege and the opportunity to know you as my personal Savior. I'm thankful that whatever is going on in my life, that I have the opportunity to hand it over to you, one who is more than able, more than able. It's not like we turn things over to you to wonder if you can do it. Now, Lord, we don't always understand your timetables. We don't always understand your methods. We'd like for you to answer our prayers exactly the way we ask. But, Lord, you know so much more than we know about us. And you give leadership and guidance to us. And we praise you for that today. Father, we are just so thrilled to be part of the family of God. We're grateful to be here in this place, in America, to have the freedom to come here to this church today and worship you as we have believed, been taught to believe. Lord, as the word has been revealed to us. Lord, now you know there's a list of things in that bulletin. All kinds of people's names, stuff going on, people that are going to have surgeries tomorrow, people that are healing from surgeries, people that have other kinds of sickness. Lord, we pray for all of our work and witness team. Because it wasn't just our people that got sick, Lord. There's folks from the Banner Church and other churches across the district that battled this too. Think about Marilyn Baker this morning. And Lord, we pray for Linda and Carolyn and Pat. And we pray that the rest of the team won't get sick. And we pray that you'll heal the ones that have been sick. Lord, I don't think there's one of them that'd change a thing. I don't think any of them would do any different or not make the trip if they had to do it over again. Seeing those kids come to Bible school and get saved. Lord, that's worth anything to know people come to Christ. And that's what we want to do. Lord, we want to bring people to you. Whether it's a smile at the grocery store or a water bottle in the park. Maybe a phone call or a card. Lord, just help us to be mindful that we can make a difference. By the grace of God, we can offer people an opportunity for their lives to be changed for eternity. And Lord, I know this morning, if somebody hadn't told me about Jesus, short of Jesus, I'm just a sinner headed for hell. But because of Christ, I'm a child of the King. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for giving your son Jesus on the cross. Thank you, Jesus, for staying there when you could have called 10,000 angels and just been done with all of us and everything. But you didn't. And as a result of that, we have salvation today. We have an opportunity. And we love you and we thank you for it. Lord, as the healer, touch those of our families who are sick and afflicted. as the counselor and the paraclete, the one who walks alongside. Lord, encourage our spirits. There's some people this morning that are just discouraged and depressed. They're facing some tough situations. Lord, we know you own the cattle on a thousand hills. So, Lord, for those folks that are struggling with jobs and paying bills and those kind of things, Lord, I pray you'd pour out a blessing. I pray they'd receive an unexpected blessing this week and that you'd just help them, Lord, because we know that you have all the resources. You have everything we need. And, Lord, lest we forget, we need you more than anything else. Thank you that you provide other things and that you'll help us with other stuff here on this world. But Lord, the most important thing is to prepare our hearts for eternity. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. We thank you for all these folks. We love them. We want you to take care of them. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. God is good. God is good. Well, when you're the pastor, oh yeah, Steve, I didn't even look back to see you wave at me. The children can be dismissed now. They have children's church and kinder church. And so if the children would like to go, they're welcome to go. We have folks waiting for them just outside the doors, and they'll take them into the other church services. Thanks to our good work. We have great workers. They love kids, and they love Jesus. So your kids are safe, and they'll tell them about Jesus and how much he loves them. When you're the preacher, you get to do some things other people don't get to do because you're standing up here at the microphone, you know. And so when you have special guests who have special abilities, you get to take advantage of those situations. And we've got some pretty special abilities here every Sunday. But we indeed are glad to have Jeff with us this morning. That's Deborah's brother and Joanne's son. And so we are glad to have Jeff. He's been with us many times before. But when he comes, we kind of get our heads together and we try to plan for a little fun. This is fun for us, but it's still serious business. And I want to sing an old song for you that when I was a kid, this guy right here that sang this song, recorded it, made it known, is probably my singing idol. I have an American idol. His name is George Beverly Shea, I've never been a real bashful person. Cheryl probably knows me as well and as long as anybody has. And there was probably some times in my younger years where there were tendencies to sing for the wrong reasons sometimes. There's a verse in this song. Says I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'm not sure that was always true for me. When I was a kid, I wanted to be an entertainer. And when I was 13, God called me to preach, and I was pretty immature at that point. And so I thought, okay, if I wasn't going to be an entertainer, I'd be a TV evangelist. So God has a way of humbling folks, you know. And so he took me to metropolises to pastor large churches in places like Halltown. Came from Dogwood, and I pastored in Split Log. Nobody's ever loved me like Jesus. Everything I have is because of him. And I'm hoping one of these days I can get my act together and be so devoted that nobody's got any question about my motives and about my heart.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by His name. Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to His dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this old world.
That indeed, God's got family all over the place, and you can go lots of places and run into total strangers, but when people find the Spirit of God binds them together, they're not strangers anymore. That's good, isn't it? I like that. We're in the midst of God's love giveaway. We've got some folks that are first-time visitors. So there's some things we want to say to you. Number one, next week is the fourth Sunday of the month, and that is our dogs' dinner. Now, that doesn't mean the folks that come to dinner are a bunch of dogs. What that means is that's the Dinner on the Ground Society. That's also our time to welcome the visitors that have come in that course of time in the month. So we're going to have a big old potluck, and we want you to come. And you're our guests at dinner. We let you go through the line first, and we'll be glad to sit down with you, answer any questions you have about the church, and tell you about the things that are going on. But we invite you to come and be part of that. Now, also, just in case, because sometimes I don't get all these things real clear, but starting with last Sunday, everyone who was a first-time visitor
last Sunday. As far as the drawings are concerned, you will be a first-time visitor for the next 6 weeks. Okay? But that's just for technicalities. We want you to get over being a visitor right quick and just be a home folk. Okay? But we're going to have another drawing at the end of the service today. And we do that because God said in the Scriptures, freely you've received, freely give. So all this summer of free stuff is about the fact that God loves you. And He wants to be involved in your life. He wants to have a personal relationship with you. And because He freely gave to us, we're now trying to be the mirror image of Him in our community, and we're giving away things as a reminder to people. It's not a bribe. We hope it's attractive, but it's not a bribe. It's just following through on what God's done for us. We owe Him. We can't pay Him back. But we can try to reflect Him in our community. God's been good to me my whole life. I had the blessing of being raised in church. I don't ever remember not going to church. And I've been to all kinds of churches. I got saved in a church with a concrete floor and slat back pews, and you could put the whole building inside of these two rows of pews right here. That church was Union Chapel Baptist Church. And they finally ceased having services there after my 94-year-old uncle passed away. They went on for a little while longer, but then the Baptists did an interesting thing. About a year ago, the Baptists deeded that property over to the Nazarenes because a group of Nazarenes from the Seymour Church of the Nazarene had taken an interest in that community. And they were preaching in another little church that was a schoolhouse called Wagner. Wagner is where my grandma walked her 9 children every week and where my daddy went to church. And that place just was just physically kind of going to the ground, and it was tough to have services there. Well, when this opportunity opened up, because it's not very many miles, it's just about 4 or 5 miles, from Wagner to Union Chapel. Well, they were holding services at Wagner on Thursday nights, and then they got a chance to get a hold of this building. It's interesting how God does some cool things for you. This doesn't mean a hill of beans to you guys, probably, but boy, it just tears my heart right up. Because the Baptist church where I accepted Jesus as an 8-year-old boy is now property of the Church of the Nazarene, and the message of holiness, which is the message that I embrace and share with you, is being shared out of the pulpit of that church. And they built an indoor bathroom since I left there. I not only got saved on the front pew of that church, I've been stung 7 times by a red wasp coming out of that globe lamp. After service one night, I about got bit by a snake walking to the outhouse. It's quite an adventure. Challenging life growing up there. But God is so good. I did a wedding the other day for a man who means an awful lot to me in this church, Brother Alan Wood. And lo and behold, if he didn't up and marry some gal that her mom and dad are probably two of the finest Christian people that showed me Jesus at Union Chapel Baptist Church when I was a kid. Surely great to have you and Alan here this morning. That's a newlywed couple back there. And they had earlier connections, and I had earlier connections with them. And so glad, you know, God is good, but you need to be connected to Him. And I want to talk to you for just a few seconds this morning, and I'll try to move along. I'm kind of reminiscing. Yesterday, they had a reunion. They had a reunion for the Dogwood Church of the Nazarene. That's the church where I grew up and got my call to preach, and preached my first sermon in Dogwood Church of the Nazarene on Sunday night. It lasted 7 minutes, and there won't ever be another one like it. But they had a reunion yesterday, and my old Sunday school teacher, Bobby Joe Myers, was there. I can't tell you how much grief I gave that guy. But he prayed with me. And I had the opportunity yesterday, he was talking, and he said, I just pray that my wife maybe was an impact on somebody. Well, I'm not going to miss an opportunity like that. I've been a preacher too long. So when Bobby Joe quit talking, I said, well, you already got that wish, because I'm one of those people. When I was a teenager and I was at the altar about every other week because I was doing stupid stuff and feeling guilty about it and praying and trying to get squared away with God, Bobby Joe was always there. Bobby Joe taught me to love Sunday school. He taught me to love Jesus. He taught me the Word of God. And there were several other folks who were a great influence on my life. And I'll get to go to heaven because of people like that who've loved me. And so here I am, pushing 60 down the road a year or two, and praying that somewhere in these pews there'd be somebody someday that can say about my life that they saw Jesus in me, and that I helped them to know Jesus, and that I helped them see how to get through some of the tough spots in life. I don't know. How many of you guys here make lists? My wife's a list maker. She's always making lists. She makes lists for the list that she's got. And I'll go to the bar at the house, you know, the countertop there. By there, there'd be a list, and there'd be another list, and be another list. And she's checking things. I don't know how she's ever going to get to this. She's checking things off lists. Then she's got to go back and check some more stuff off that list. And the truth of the matter is, when it comes to the church, I'm kind of a type A, and I have some lists. I need to get stuff done during the week. I need to feel like when I get to the end of the week, I accomplished something. So I write things on my calendar, and I check off when I get them done. And I expect in some way or another, we're all probably guilty of making a list somewhere. But my question to you this morning is, have you made a checklist in regard to your eternity? Have you made a checklist in regard to what's going to happen to you after this life? Because the Bible tells us we need to get ready. I want to bring your attention to a passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 25, and I'm going to skip here a little bit for sake of time. I want to read some verses, 31 through 34, and then we'll read verse 41 and 46. Out of the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew, and I want us to think about our checklist, and have we checked off all the appropriate spaces on our checklist this morning? Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left, and then the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world." And skip down to 41. Then He will say to those on His left, "Depart from Me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." And then in verse 46, "Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." So can I just tell you a few things? For those of you who are new here, I guess maybe these are the kind of things you need to know. That way, we'd love to have you come back a lot of times. But if I say something this morning that's going to make you question that, you might as well know early on. I believe hell is a real place. I believe the devil is a real person. And if you heard me read this passage of Scripture, it says that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. You know what that means? It means it wasn't prepared for you. But when people don't accept Jesus Christ, that's where they end up. Not because God wants them to. I'm going to talk about that in just a second. But I believe with all my heart the Bible is the Word of God. I believe that God is the creator and sustainer of this universe and the supreme being to which I owe my allegiance and who is my ultimate authority. And the only way I'm going to make it in this life and the life hereafter is to surrender and yield to Him. I believe that He is the only way, that Jesus is the truth, and that He really wants us to be there. Let me share that with you. Because here's the checklist this morning. I think you need to have checked off on your list that you're saved. I believe you need to know in your heart that you're saved. I've had people say to me, well, I hope I'm saved. That's a bunch of baloney. My Bible says you can know you're saved. Now, you've either given your heart to Jesus or you haven't. The Bible says the way you can tell if people have given their hearts to Jesus is He changes their heart from the inside out and they act different than they used to. We're not going to get into all those judgments and legalistic things, but here's what I do know. It's God's will that people get saved. Let me read to you from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. That's what He wants. In 2 Peter chapter 3, in verse 9, it says, the Lord is not slow in keeping His promises. Some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God wants everyone to be saved. Now, think about this. This is real simple theology here. If the Bible says God wants everyone to be saved, do you get a message here? Does God get everything He wants? He could, but He doesn't, because He gives men choice. He lets you choose stuff, and that's why you're getting some of the messes you do. That's why I got some of the messes I got in. Because we choose not to listen to God. We choose not to follow the Word of God. We choose to do something differently than He intended for us to do it. That's what gets us in trouble. Because God wants us to be saved. It's God's plan. If you look over, most of you can begin to quote John chapter 3 and verse 16. And I want to read the 17th verse that goes along with it. And this is what it says. It says, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. There's a lot of folk out there that think God is some kind of cosmic killjoy just waiting for you to mess up so He can thump you with His Word and condemn you to hell for the rest of your life. That is the craziest thing I've ever heard of. God is well aware of hell. He's the guy that made the place, and He made it for the devil and his angels, and He sent His Son to the cross so you can miss it. Because He loves you. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to be a part of what's going on in your life every day. He wants you to speak to Him like a father. My dad died 5 years ago. I miss him. I used to call my dad and ask him stuff. He knew stuff. Stuff didn't work at the house. My dad was a builder. Stuff didn't work at the house. I called my dad and said, why didn't this work? He could usually tell me why. Tell me how to fix it. I want to be able to go to the Heavenly Father with the stuff that's wrong in my life and say, how do I fix this? Because God knows and He's got an answer. And He wants to be a part of our life. He wants to have a relationship. He has a plan for our lives. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. God made a way. He made a way for us to be saved. He wants us to be saved. It's His will, it's His plan, and He gives us the direction of how to make it happen because we can read in His Word that all we need to do is confess. That's the bottom line. We just have to acknowledge that we understand that we are sinners because Adam and Eve messed up. And when we confess that to God, He immediately kicks into action and does some wonderful things for us. Listen to this in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. There's not any question about this. It's not, well, like I hope I get saved. If you do this with a sincere heart, God will save you. And don't listen to the devil because he's a liar. The Bible says so. Isn't it interesting how we spend more time listening to the devil than we do God sometimes? We know God is nothing but truth. And we know the devil's a liar. And we spend more time talking to the devil than we do God sometimes. That's probably why we get in some of the messes we get into. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 says, if we're faithful and just to confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I mean, God wants us to make it. Do you understand that? God wants you in His heaven forever. He wants you to be there. He's not trying to keep you out. He's not trying to keep you from having a good time. He set up the rules because He knows His own creation, and He knows when you do the stuff that's selfish, you end up hurting yourself and other people. We think we're getting pleasure. We think it's going to be good, but it always ends up bad. And He knows that, and that's why He tries to keep us out of all that. But we're stubborn sometimes, and we don't want to listen to Him. So we have to repent. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, it says this. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repentance means turning away from. It means changing behavior. It literally is like a 180 degree go the other way. So if I'm going to repent of something and be really sorry for it, I shouldn't be doing it again. If I'm making excuses for it and rationalizations, I got a problem that's deeper than just that thing. In Acts chapter 26, in verse 20, it reads like this. For to those in Damascus, and to those in Jerusalem, and all Judea, and to the Gentiles also, I preach that they should repent and turn to God and prove their repentance by their deeds. We cannot have works earn our salvation. We can't earn our salvation. You're not going to get salvation by doing works. But the things you do are the evidence of what you have and who you are. If I plant an orange tree, I want it to have oranges on it. I didn't plant an orange tree to get apples. I want to get water out of the water spigot. If I get something else out of there, something went wrong. When we say we're Christians, we ought to look like Christ. If we don't, something's wrong. And we need to follow Him. Luke chapter 14, verse 27 tells us, and anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. We need to follow. God wants us to be saved, but that's not all. God does not just want us to be forgiven. We can check that one off our list. We need to confess our sins and ask Jesus Christ to come into our heart. We can check that one off. We're saved. But there's more than that. Jesus accomplished more than that on the cross. For He not only died for us to be saved, but He died for us to be sanctified. You know how I know that? Because the Bible says it. Now, I ran out of markers, and I ended up doing the nursing home, some things I didn't know to do. So I got this in this book, but I'm going to read it off the screen because Mike's going to help me. And that'll help me move faster, and you'll get out of here sooner. But you need to understand it's God's will that you be sanctified. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3. That's a verse out of the Bible. Now, here, this takes a lot of study to discern what this verse means. See, so it is God's will that you should be sanctified. Now, let's go find us a theologian, see if we can understand what that means. I believe you can take the most educated theologian in the world, and you know what he'll tell you that verse means? He'll tell you it means it's God's will for you to be sanctified. I don't know how you get any more black and white than that. How many of you want to do God's will for your life? If we're going to be Christians, we want to follow God's will, right? Well, it's God's will that we be saved, but here's the Word of God. This is God's Word. It's God's will that you be sanctified. Now, if you don't know what that word means, let me tell you. The word sanctified means two things. It means to be set apart for God's use exclusively, and it means to be cleansed and purified by the power of God. We are initially sanctified when we ask for forgiveness. We are setting our lives apart. We're giving our lives back to God. But beyond that, there is the work of what makes us sin. Well, because we inherited that carnal nature from Adam, but it wasn't part of the creation. It came in after the fact. What this verse means is that it's God's will to get rid of that thing that makes you want to mess up. He wants to take the devil and kick him out of your life so that he doesn't have an internal foothold. And the word sanctified means he wants to purify your heart and cleanse you to the extent that you don't do stuff on purpose you're not supposed to do. And then there's somebody who'll say, oh yeah, you Nazarenes, you're those people who think you can be perfect. Well, you're not going to be absolutely perfect in this life. You're not even going to be Adamically perfect in this life because Adam sinned. So none of us are going to get that point. Here's what I can tell you, though. In terms of judgment, God defines sin as a willful and knowledgeable transgression. So if you already know that it's wrong and you do it anyway, then you did it on purpose by choice and you could have not done it. And what God is saying is, I want to deal with the body of sin in your life to the point I died on the cross to deal with that. And I want you to be delivered from the power of sin over your life, not just the things of sin you've done. Now, listen, here's the reason I know that that's absolutely true. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 12, this is what it says. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. You know what the word holy means in the dictionary? To be without sin. To be pure from sin. What pollutes? Now, God is fair. God does not hold us in contempt or judgment for stuff we don't know. But God expects us to act upon what we do know. Can't bury our head in the sand and plead ignorance. Jesus died to deliver us not only from the things we've done, but the reason why we did them. Y'all not happy about that? Y'all pretty quiet. Jesus died to deliver you from the body and the power of sin that gave Satan an internal foothold in your life when you were born, and Jesus died to boot him out. If I'd hit a home run, would you cheer? If I'd make a basket, would you jump up and clap? Jesus died for you to deliver you from a lying, cheating devil who wants to put your soul in hell. And Jesus died to suck you right up into his great heaven. We ought to kind of be glad about that. You ought to get a little bit excited about that. But now listen, here's the importance of this. Somebody says, well, so what? Big deal. Let me read something to you. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. This is what it says. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Why did Jesus suffer outside the city gate? To make the people holy. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. How important is it to get sanctified? I'm thinking it's pretty important. Where's the Lord at? He's in heaven. Where do I want to get to? Heaven. If I don't have holiness, I'm not going to see the Lord. What's that mean? I'm not going to make it to heaven. If I'm walking against light, if the Holy Spirit has revealed to me that He can deliver me, and I say, sorry, I don't want that. I'd just rather live a little corrupt. I'd just rather go on sinning on purpose every day because I just think that's all I can do and just, you know, blessed Jesus, He'll help me when I get to heaven. No, He won't, because you won't get to heaven living that way. If you're sinning on purpose, you're not going to heaven. And I hate to be rude and crude, but folks, I'm just trying to tell you, God doesn't even want you to have to do that. He's already delivered you from it if you'll take it. He wants to fill you with His Holy Spirit and empower you to live victoriously. And we have to just continue to seek Him in this life. Mike, show me Jeremiah 29:13, please. We're going to continue to seek God. For He wants us to be saved, He wants us to be sanctified, and He wants us to be seeking Him because we're not God, we're not perfect. So every day we need to get as much of Him as we possibly can. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Are you seeking Him? Or you just kind of get saved and forget about it? Hey, there's some responsibility on your end to love Jesus just like you want Him to love you. How long would you have your spouse if you told him you loved him, then you never pursued him anymore? People go to all kinds of crazy extents when they're dating, and then when they get married, they quit. That's why divorces happen. Because they quit pursuing each other. They quit seeking each other. We need to walk in the light that God has given us. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, it says this: "And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." Good things happen when you seek God, when you pursue Him, when you follow after Him. He wants to do things to help you. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. "Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." That's being sanctified. A pure heart. What's He tell us in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7? "If you walk in the light as He is in the light," speaking about Jesus in relationship to the Father, "we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin, if you walk in the light." That means when God reveals something to you, you need to respond obediently. If you don't, now you're disobeying. If you're not walking in revelation, then you're not walking in light. You're resisting, which means you're disobeying. And disobedience is sin. And sin separates man from God. We just got to quit making excuses for ourselves all the time. Come on. God wants to help us live a good life. He wants to bless us with good things. He wants to help us be victorious. So here's the checklist. Are you saved? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt this morning that you have asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and forgive your sins and be your personal Savior? Check it off. Do you know this morning that you've been sanctified? Have you asked God to fill you with His Holy Spirit and to remove the carnal spirit from you, to push that out, and to fill you with His Spirit and His love? And do you know that not only have you been set apart for God's use, but you've been cleansed and your heart is purified by His power, and that you're sanctified? We can say that because it's a biblical word. Some people won't apologize for talking about being sanctified these days. I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize. It's in the Bible. What I'm going to try to do is encourage you to get it. To walk in all the light you have. To live in the best possible way you can by the grace and the help of God's Holy Spirit. And the third thing is this. Check that one off. Are you pursuing God? Are you really seeking God? Are you staying in the Word? Are you taking advantage of all of the opportunities? Are you in prayer? Do you attend church? Do you involve yourself? Or do you find yourself kind of just doing the minimum you think you can get by with? When people don't have time for God, when people don't have time to pursue God, that's why our churches are in the shape they're in. Any of you guys remember chasing that girl that's sitting beside you now? You put a little effort in it, didn't you? If you didn't, I'm surprised she's sitting there. And you're not going to have much of a relationship if you don't continue to pursue God. Because God wants to tell you new stuff, and He wants to do things in your life, and He's continuing to fill you with His Spirit. He just wants to have an ongoing relationship with you, just be in love with each other every day. That's seeking God. Check that one off. You can check that you're saved and that you're sanctified and that you're pursuing God. Let me tell you, there's not a devil in hell can keep you out of heaven. But if you won't do things God's way, there's not anything He can do that'll get you there. Because He's already done it all. And if you won't take what's there, there's nothing more He can do, because He won't force Himself on you. Janet, can you come to the piano this morning and play that song, "Softly and Tenderly Jesus is Calling"? On a Sunday morning in Union Chapel Baptist Church, we didn't even have altars. We didn't have carpet. We just had old pews. There wasn't any pads. They just had slats. They're about half this length. I thought that was a huge church when I was a kid. We had three rows of pews inside this space right here. They didn't even have a center aisle. I don't know what's the matter with that old church. But buddy, let me tell you, the Spirit of God was there. Brother Jerry Hilton preached a message. And I was an 8-year-old kid, and I said, man, I'm going to die and go to hell if I don't get straightened up. I don't want to go to hell. I want to love Jesus. I want to have Jesus as my personal Savior. When I got into the Nazarene church, I started hearing a message about holiness and sanctification. I said, man, I don't want to be messing up all the time. If God's got something better for me, if I can make right choices and live right, that sounds good to me. Because I got a guilty conscience. I'm an old emotional guy. And I feel guilty all the time, you know. I didn't like that. If I could live and not feel guilty, that'd be a good thing, wouldn't it? I don't like guilt. But you get it when you do stuff you're not supposed to do. That's a good thing. And I got saved and I got sanctified. Then I realized this relationship with Jesus wasn't going to go very far if I didn't try to talk to Him once in a while, read His love letters to me. Wasn't much of a relationship. Got to seek Him. I'm still working on that one. So I'm here to tell you, God loves you. He wants you in His heaven. He wants to save you from your sin. He wants to give you the power to overcome and to make right choices. And I'm telling you, these altars are open to you this morning. And I'm going to invite you to stand with every head bowed and every eye closed. Janet's going to play that old song she's playing. It says, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for me to come home. And I want you, if you're here this morning and your heart is not right with God, I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. I don't care what you professed. We want you to know we're giving away God's love and we want you to have it. And if you're here this morning and there's anything between you and God that you think would keep you out of heaven, I want you to walk right down and just kneel at these altars. And I just want you to lay it right there on that altar, give it to God, because I'm going to tell you, He's going to take it. He's going to forgive you and you're going to be done. Put that behind you and the devil can't stop you. And you walk out of here with victory in your heart. You don't have to walk out of here today wondering if you're saved or not. You don't have to walk out of here wondering if you're sanctified tonight. You don't have to wonder whether or not you're going to go to heaven. You can absolutely know for sure all of those things, and you can check off, and your checklist will be ready to go for eternity. These altars are open. We're not going to wait long. I know you got other things to do and other places to be, but this is God's time right now. If you're here this morning and things aren't right, it's time to get right. And God loves you, He's for you, and He wants to help you. And all you have to do is come and ask Him. Anybody like that this morning? Anybody that just needs a place to pray and say, God, I need some help. I need some help. I want to make it to heaven. I need help. Stuff going on in my life. I want to know for sure that I'm saved. I want to know I'm on my way. Anybody like that this morning? We'll pray with you. And you'll know before you leave this building that your heart is right with God and you are on your way to heaven. Anybody like that? All right. We're not going to beg and plead. I believe you're intelligent people. If God's dealing with you and you want to do something about it, why, we're here. If you change your mind after service, I'll be around for a little bit. You can catch me going out the door. We're going to pray a prayer and I'm going to let you be seated for a minute because we're going to give some good stuff away. But thank you for being here this morning and listen to the voice of God. Pursue Him with all your heart. Father, thank you for this day, for your love, and for the guarantee and the assurance of your salvation. Don't let one of us walk out this door without knowing this morning. And thanks for loving us and going with us wherever we go. In Jesus' name, amen. You be seated for a minute. Mindy, do you have a basket for me? Here it comes. All right. I got right here in my pocket. I got two cards. Mr. Brett, draw me two names out of there, please. Okay, there's one. And there's two. All righty. Now, you know how this works. Every week for 5 weeks, we're drawing two names out of the basket. We're giving away $50 Walmart gift cards. And so if you were a first-time visitor last week and you won cards last week, then you're not in the drawing until the last week. And if you're here every Sunday until the last week, on the last Sunday, that's the 16th of August, we're giving away a $500 Visa card. And if you've been here all 6 weeks, your name will be in that basket six times. So you have six shots at winning that $500 card. Some of you guys won last week. We rejoiced with you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're glad. Okay? And some of you have been back both Sundays, and we appreciate that. You know, because here's the deal. Let me just tell you what we're trying to do. We're trying to get you to know that we love you and God loves you. And we'd just like for you to hang around here. We hope you keep coming back when we're not giving away cards anymore. We just like to give away more love to you. Let you be part of the family. How about that? Be all right? Okay, I got a name. I got two names. And I've got a $50 Walmart gift card here for Sarah Schofield. All right, congratulations, Sarah. We're so glad to have you and the boys with us. I hope they had a good time at Bible school and you're enjoying the services. Amen. God bless you, Sarah. I got another name here. Harold Ritter. Brother Harold. Well, hi, Miss Avery. How you doing? Avery's brother, Bryce, got saved during vacation Bible school. He's back there somewhere. He's in children's church. Harold, congratulations. We're glad to have you and your family with us. Blessings on you. We're just glad these kids came to Bible school and got saved, having a good time. Isn't it great to be a part of the family of God? Amen. Amen. Read your bulletin upside down. You might turn it right side up. There's announcements in there. It'll tell you what's going on over the next few weeks. We have service tonight, 6 o'clock. Service on Wednesday night, 6:30. We have a good time when we get together. We read the Word of God and we learn stuff. And we're going to have a good time tonight. We invite you to come back and be with us if you'd like. I love you. To do this is one of the greatest blessings in the world. I want you to make it to heaven. If you get mad at me once in a while, it's okay. I just want you to make it to heaven. If I have to make you mad to get you there, that's okay. I just don't want you. I don't want to be in line with you when we get up to judgment. I don't want you coming to me and saying, "You didn't tell me, preacher. You didn't tell me." I'm going to do my best to tell you. Okay? Because I love you. Amen? Let's stand. Hazel, prayer, closing prayer for us, please.